Here it is, December. We've had a cold chill, but not any snow yet. I mean, at least nothing that's stuck, not around here. But yet we're warm again this weekend, so it's kind of nice. Some of you are familiar with Crossroads Alliance Church. They're actually a daughter church of this church. Many years ago, they were a plant started from here. But they're having their Christmas musical program today at 2:30, and you all are invited for that. Little kids, Sean, Katie, you can go with Donna. So if you are interested in that, I believe Elaine knows a little bit more details about what's going on there. Not really. Okay, never mind. Ruth might. Is Andrew part of it? Okay. I figured he might be. So if you would like to check out a Christmas program this afternoon, feel free to check out Crossroads Lions Church. If you need directions how to get that, talk to Ruth after church. She knows where it is. Sort of a bunch of us, but talk to them. Okay. Let's turn to our scripture. It'll be in Hebrews chapter 2, in verses 11 through 18. Both the one who makes men holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers. He says, "I will declare your name to my brothers. In the presence of the congregation, I will sing your praises." And again, "I will put my trust in him." And again he says, "Here I am, and the children God has given me." Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. For surely it is not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. For this reason, he had to be made like his brothers in every way. Listen to that. For this reason, he had to be made like his brothers in every way, in order that he might become merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your blessings. Lord, we thank you for that which you give us. And Lord, we pray your blessing upon that which we give you in return. Lord, we also pray that you would be present here and lead and guide in all that we do. And particularly, Lord, as I preach, that you would lead and guide me this morning, that the words I speak would bring encouragement and blessing to your people, that all might come to know you more and walk closer with you. Lord, I pray that it would be your name that is lifted up and glorified. Father, we ask that this church and our lives might be proper gifts to you of thankfulness for the work that you've done for us, which we read about even in this verse today, that you made the atonement for us, Lord, that you paid the price for our sins. Lord, we thank you. Now, Lord, help us to live a life walking with you. And speak to us this day. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you here have an older brother or sister? I don't. I didn't have that. blessing, some might say curse. Depends on the sibling. I'm not sure what my sisters would say. Because I'm the oldest in my family, and Donna's the oldest in her family. So she and I are the oldest ones in both our families. And matter of fact, I'm the oldest of the grandchildren, too. And so is Donna. So it's, you know, we're from a different position than those who come from younger. But I do know that as an older brother, I took it upon myself at times to show my sisters the ropes, to help them out. Now, sometimes my mother wasn't real appreciative of the help I gave my sisters. You know, one sister was, she was just a baby, and she was crying, and she was hungry, so I gave her her bottle. However, when I threw it in the crib for her, it hit her in the face. So sometimes our help doesn't always really work out the way we intended it, you know. Remember back then they were the glass bottles too, not the plastic lightweight things that we have today. But the Lord, He's our big brother. And what He does right and perfect. Unlike those of us who had imperfect big brothers, He is our perfect big brother. Just as we have the symbolic, God is our perfect Father in heaven, and we know our earthly fathers aren't perfect. God is also our big brother. Now, I'm not making this up. I'm not coming up with some weird, you know, cheesy theology here. I'm just taking this directly from the Scriptures. You know, Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers. He's talking about us being His brothers. Well, we know that Jesus is the beginning and the end. We know that through Him all things were made, so He's got to be there first. That makes Him the older brother. I don't care when His birthday is. He was actually there first. Now, the writer of Hebrews really does some amazing things here. Really, truly. What we have here is this showing of the humanity of Jesus and His relationship to us, the children of the promise of Abraham, those who believe in what God has done. That we're siblings, that we're of one family. And God shared in the very humanity which we all have. This is really an amazing thing that He's showing here. And He's marrying together the deity of God, the humanity of God, and showing how much Jesus was and is the Messiah. All in one little short period here. We have this quote, "I will declare your name to my brothers. In the presence of the congregation, I will sing your praises." That's Psalm 22. Mike, if you want to put that up, let's take a look at Psalm 22. Psalm 22 is a psalm of David, which we recognize as being messianic. And it's not just the one that we recognize being messianic, but it's recognized as being messianic prior to Jesus. But after Jesus, you couldn't but help but see that this psalm, even though it's David speaking, is really speaking about Jesus. Let's look at it. It says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me? So far from the words of my groaning. Oh my God, I cry out by day and you do not answer. By night and am not silent. Yet you are enthroned as the Holy One. You are the praise of Israel. In you our fathers put their trust. They trusted and you delivered them. They cried to you and were saved. In you they trusted and were not disappointed. But I am a worm and not a man. We lost it. Now we're at verse 6. But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by men and despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They hurl insults, shaking their heads. He trusts in the Lord. Let the Lord rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. Don't these sound like the words that and what was occurring to Jesus prior to him going to the cross? So we continue. Yet you brought me out of the womb. You made me trust in even at my mother's breast. From birth I was cast upon you. And from my mother's womb you have been my God. Showing again the humanity of Christ. And moving forward. Do not be far from me, for trouble is near, and there is no one to help. Many bulls surround me, strong bulls of Bashan encircle me. Roaring lions tearing their prey, open their mouths wide against me. I am poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint, being hung on the cross. My heart has turned to wax. It has melted away within me. My strength is dried up like a partridge. My tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You lay me in the dust of death. Dogs have surrounded me. A band of evil men have encircled me and have pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. People stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them and cast lots for my clothing. But you, O Lord, be not far off. O my strength, come quickly to help me. Deliver my life from the sword. My precious life from the power of the dogs. Rescue me from the mouth of the lion. Save me from the horns of the wild oxen. I declare your name to my brothers. In the congregation I will praise you. Who will fear the Lord? Praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, honor him. Revere him, all you descendants of Israel. For he has not despised or disdained the suffering of the afflicted one. He has not hidden his face from him, but he has listened to his cry for help. From you comes the theme of my praise in the great assembly. Before those who fear you, I will fulfill my vows. The poor will eat and be satisfied. Those who seek the Lord will praise him. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations will bow down before him. For dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. All the rich of the earth will feast and worship. All who go down to the dust will kneel before him. Those who cannot keep themselves alive, posterity will serve him. Future generations will be told about the Lord. They will proclaim his righteousness to a people yet unborn. For he has done it. When the writer of Hebrews lifted verse 22 out of Psalm 22, everybody who's reading this was reminded of the context, was brought back, because they know where it came from. Okay? This letter to the Hebrews was to people who knew the Old Testament, who knew the Psalms. And when he brought this out, they would have known all the context. And they would have known that this is a messianic psalm. They would have known that this is speaking about the crucifixion itself. And what comes after it. This all would have been brought to them. Some of you may have known that before I brought it up, but maybe not. Because we don't require to memorize the Scripture the way it was in the past, because we have the crutch of being able to carry the Word with us. It's a crutch and a blessing, and both. It's a blessing because it's right there. And it's for anybody and everybody. It's a crutch because, frankly, some of us get lazy and we don't memorize it. I'm not casting stones. I live in a glass house. But what I'm trying to show you here is that when the writer of Hebrews is talking about this, people knew this was messianic. And this next section, and again, I will put my trust in Him. This comes from Isaiah chapter 8. Right? Let's go to verse 18. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 18. And it says, "Here I am, and the children the Lord has given me." That's the quote. It's pulled out. But this whole section, again, is messianic. I'm not going to read the whole thing. In fact, I'm going to read a verse that I didn't even tell Mike after I told him about all these others. Is Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." This is the context that these verses are pulled from. We need to use Scripture to interpret Scripture. When the writer of Hebrews is throwing out these references to us, we just don't want to take them and read them for just here, but we want to look, where did they come from? What are they talking about? And they're talking about Jesus back there too. They weren't just lifted indiscriminately and put in randomly. These passages are talking about the Messiah. And we find out that the Messiah is our big brother, Jesus. Wow. Kind of strange, kind of different. But Jesus had to be made flesh, we're told here, for a couple of really important reasons. One is to destroy him who holds the power of death. That is the devil. Another is that he might make the atonement for the sins of the people. And also, so that he might become a merciful and frightful and faithful high priest in service of God. And so he is able to help those who have been tempted, because he too has been tempted. So he can help those who have been tempted. He can be our high priest. He's the one who provides us with atonement, and he is the one who gives victory over the enemy. And he did all of that required him to be made as human as you and I. He was indeed born from a womb. Grew up like any child, except that this child was also God. He is indeed our older brother who came back to show us the way, because he knew the way. Now, if you want to make a trip through a difficult area or get through a difficult project or item of some type, you find somebody who knows the way, who's been there, who knows it. In all sorts of life. Lewis and Clark, they're looking to get from one end of the continent to the other. They got native guides. You're going to show them from each section, from this part to this part. In the Himalayas, they got guys who want to go to the top of mountains. They get people who live there to be guides. And they take them up the mountain and say, "No, you don't want to go that way. You want to go this way. That way doesn't work." We have it even in the business world, where we have people who are taken to training and they say, "This is how you do it." and you take them one step through at a time. And so this is how this is done. You go here, you do this, you do that. We take people who have been through the area, who have lived in it, and those are the ones who instruct us and teach us and show us the way. Who's the best person to counsel somebody who's lost a child? Someone who has lost a child himself. Not that the rest of us who haven't can't bring some assistance, but we haven't been there. We don't know. But the person who's lost a child has been in those dark paths and can lead somebody else, say, hey, I've been there, I know the way, take my hand, follow me. This is what Jesus did. He suffered temptation. Not because he had a need to be tempted, but because by having experienced what we have experienced, he is better able to help us through it. You say, what? God needs to improve himself? God had to go to school to learn how to be a better God? I don't know. I'm just going by what Scripture tells us here. And this is what God said, that he did this so that he could do this. He became human so he would know what human is. Not from the standpoint of outside, looking in, but from the standpoint of having been inside. Anybody ever experience a thing where somebody from the outside of a situation has come in and said, you guys are just doing it all wrong. You don't know what you're doing. And you just look at those people and say, you don't have a clue what you're talking about. You may think you know what's going on because you see the outside, but you're not in the middle. You don't know what's really happening there. Now, sometimes somebody from the outside can give us a fresh perspective. But they really don't know the nuts and bolts of what's happening in the middle. It's only by having been in the middle yourself that you can. And that's what God has done here. This is what the writers of Hebrews are pointing out. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. When we're being tempted, and you will be tempted. Each and every one of us will be tempted each and every day. Some of the temptations are easier to overcome than others. But in those temptations where we are more susceptible, and we each know what our own temptations are, that we are more likely to fail. I'm not going to list mine, thank you very much. But there are some areas where I fall flat and I need God's help. I really need God's help. I can't do it. And Jesus became human so he could help us. And he now provides that help for us. This is good news. This is awesome. We don't have to go through stuff by ourselves. We don't have to do it on our own. We've got our big brother who knows the way, who's already paid the penalty, who's already done the victory, and can now lead us through. Through life. To eternal life. And as difficult as your situation may have been with your real biological siblings, you know that there is a special relationship because they are indeed your sibling. I got to sit down and talk with my younger sister for 2 hours yesterday. I haven't done that for years. But you know what? Because we're brother and sister, thankfully, you know, it's not that I haven't seen her, just her and I. We were the only two there. She came over to drop off a swag that we bought from our nephew for Boy Scouts. Well, they're out on a ski trip. Her son and husband are off on a ski trip with the Boy Scouts, and my wife, you know, is at work. Always at work. So I'm home alone. Me and the dog, the fish, and the bird. The seahorse. We don't have any fish anymore. We got a seahorse at home now. Okay. So I'm not really alone, but you know, more enough. More or less. But my sister came over and we actually got to sit down and talk. No distractions. Just the two of us, and we visited for 2 hours. It was kind of nice. But she and I were able to talk and just relate because we're brother and sister. We have the same parents. We've been through the same things. We know. That's what it is with us and Jesus. We've got the same Father in heaven. He's been through the same stuff we've been through. He knows where we're at. You don't even have to finish all your sentences. Yeah. Remember about... Yeah, I remember. You know, people look at close siblings who are talking and they never finish a sentence or discussion, and you're like... You know, if you're on the outside looking, you go, what are they talking about? They didn't say anything. But they're, you know, rolling in the aisle. Or they've made up their mind and they're doing something. You're like, how did you get the... Well, we talked about... Just because they're so close. God is that close to us. If we will let Him. It's possible to hold your sibling off. Say, nope, I'm not going to do it. But it doesn't have to be. He is our big brother. He is our high priest. He is the one who brings victory over sin. And He is the one who brings us help in our temptation. He's Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank You that You gave us our brother Jesus. That He is not ashamed to call us His brothers and sisters. Lord, we thank You that He's experienced everything that we have, all the temptations, and yet was able to overcome them. And instead of keeping that private for Himself, He has made that victory available to us and is there to help us through our temptation. Lord, help us to not be stubborn and try to go it alone. But Lord, help us to open our hearts and minds to You, Jesus, that You might lead us in the way the Father wants us to go. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand as we close.